And open up your Bibles with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs, chapter 2. Continuing our walk through this book, at least through the early chapters of the book of Proverbs. As we hear and seek wisdom from God's Word. Tonight, what I'd like to talk to you about is walk the line, treasure. The principle of treasure. What is it that you are treasuring in your heart? Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 and reading through verse 22. Solomon writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, these words, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. You will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for your words. We thank you for these words of wisdom that show us this treasure principle that should we apply it to our lives and to your word, Lord, this principle will guide us in our lives in a very treacherous world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to treasure up words of wisdom within our hearts. And as we treasure wisdom, Lord, I pray that wisdom would be finding its way out in the way that we walk in this very crazy world that we live in. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for it. Speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, research says that you can actually have a profound influence in your family and on your family by doing just something very, very simple that apparently a lot of people in our world don't really do much of in today's world. In fact, in our family, as the kids grow up and as they get jobs and things like that, it's becoming more and more difficult to do. But one of the things that you can do as a family to increase your togetherness or to increase the health of your relationships in your family, one of the things you can do is simply sit down and eat together. Simply sit down and have a meal together. That's what the research is showing today, turning off the TV and having a few moments, a few minutes of intentional conversation. And if you do that several times a week, you will have more healthy relationships in your family. Also, even to extend that to your friends and others who you are building relationships. According to one particular study, it said that children who eat at least 5 times a week with their family are lower at risk or at lower risk of developing eating poor eating habits, weight problems, alcohol and substance dependencies, and they tend to perform better academically than their peers who frequently eat alone or away from home. Pretty interesting data. And of course, we live in a culture that just fights against that, doesn't it? With the crazy busyness of our lives. Slowing down, having a meal. In fact, I think one restaurant that I am particularly fond of, you can guess which one that might be, Chick-fil-A. So at Chick-fil-A, oftentimes you will go into those restaurants and they have a little box on the table there, this zone, the cell phone free zone. And if you go in there and you put your cell phone, everybody at the table has to do it, you put your cell phone in the little box there on the table and tell the waiter you're doing it, they will see that and go by and give you a card that entitles you to a free cookie or a free ice cream cone. I'm like, yes, that's awesome. I will gladly give up my cell phone for a free chocolate chip cookie any day of the week. And so it's awesome to see how they encourage. And there's some words on there about the research. You know, as a child, almost every Sunday after church, we'd go over to grandmama and granddaddy's house after church, and we'd often have fried chicken and everything that went with that, and mashed potatoes. We just sit down and have a meal and have a good old time. Now, I will be honest, a lot depends on if Dallas was playing or not, or for me, the Chiefs. But, you know, that would often be playing in the background. But we turn the volume down and we would talk. We would have conversation with each other. You know what? One of the things about this text here in Proverbs chapter 2, it is like sitting down to a meal with a father, giving advice, giving counsel, giving wisdom to his child. Notice how it begins in verse 1. My son. Father, sitting down with us, like a father, sitting down with us, dad or granddad, sitting down and saying, here is the way the world works. Here is how you can live your life in a way that will, you can navigate this world with the kind of wisdom that it will take you to truly be a success for God or to give glory to God if you, in your life in this world. What this chapter does, it's like our Heavenly Father sitting down with us and saying, here is the way the world works. This chapter tells us how to be closer to the Father, how to walk with heavenly wisdom through life, and to be the kind of people, and he points out the kind of people that you need to be watching out for and be aware of in your life, because they will lead you off of the path of wisdom. It's like a dad sitting down and saying, son, daughter, these are some people that you need to watch out for in your life. They will lead you astray. And so this evening, what I want to encourage us to do as we walk through this chapter is I want us to just sit down at the table, have a meal, a feasting over this passage, over the scripture, allowing the Heavenly Father to speak wisdom into our lives. There's three principles of treasuring that the Father gives us here in Proverbs chapter 2. And the first is this. He counsels us, son, daughter, treasure the Word of God. Number one, treasure the Word of God. If you were to read this chapter in the original language, notice 22 verses of this chapter. There are 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so each verse in the original, this is actually an acrostic poem. Each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a poem. And so very interesting to see that, the intentionality at which the author writes this particular chapter of Scripture. It symbolizes completeness in terms of our treasuring. And the key to this whole chapter on wisdom is really the first four verses, where the counsel of the Heavenly Father is to treasure His words. When the Father speaks, it ought to be like precious diamonds and gold to our soul. Treasure in our hearts. Notice that in the first four verses, the word "if" appears three times. There is an if-then statement. If, three statements of if, and then. There is that statement that He makes in the first four verses. Let's walk through the first four verses there. He says, "My son, if you receive My words." And if you know the way Hebrew poetry works, because this is a poem, the way Hebrew poetry works is not in terms of rhyming words, like roses are red, violets are blue. Make up something. I'm not a poet. And so they wouldn't end it with rhyming words. The way Hebrew poetry works is they use not parallelism of rhyming words, but parallelism of ideas. And so oftentimes they will say something in Hebrew poetry and then say something else to reinforce what they just said. Sometimes it's a reinforcement. Sometimes it's actually an opposite kind of thing that they're doing. But there's parallel ideas, and the way to interpret Hebrew poetry is to figure out how those ideas work in parallel. And in verse 1, they are parallel ideas that strengthen and enforce and explain each other. So in verse 1, He says, "Receive My words, treasure up My commandments within you." You know, one of the things that you so often see if you watch football, either college or NFL, one of the things that so often happens is that receivers try to catch the ball just with their hands rather than receiving the ball all the way into here. And what's going to happen if they run around with the ball like this, like a certain team did this afternoon that I'm sure many of you are trying to forget about that fumble there in the second quarter. Well, what happens if you hold the ball like this? What's going to happen? The linebacker, right? Or one of the defensive backs is going to zero in on you, going to go after that ball and slap it out of your hand. That is true here. When you receive the Word of God, it's not as if, I heard it and it's nice thing and it's culturally good for me and I kind of like it because it's just the way it's always been in my life. But we don't receive it. We receive it all the way into our hearts and into our souls, and we own it as our greatest treasure, all the way into the deepest part of our being and soul. The Word of God, verse 1 says, needs to be the most important thing about you and the greatest treasure in your life. I saw a video on Facebook just recently where in a closed country, I believe it was in China, they got a box of Bibles for the very first time in their language, to where everyone could have their own copy of God's Word. And when they opened up that box, it was not, "Oh, this is so nice. I'm so glad we got a Bible." It was like pandemonium. Jumping in there. Now, they weren't like fighting and, you know, that kind of stuff. But they were, it was like joy, and you could see they were hugging and treasuring and loving the reality that I have God's Word in my life, something that's illegal. I've got this book, and I love having a copy for myself so I can treasure it and read it and meditate on it and study it in my life. That's how you need to be with the Word of God if you're going to travel the pathway of wisdom. The pathway to wisdom follows inevitably and irrevocably through the treasuring of the Word of God. If you receive My words, if you treasure My commandments with you. Look at verse 2. He says, making your ear attentive to wisdom. You have to tell your ear what to do. Listening to the right voice. Think about that. Making your ear attentive. You got to make yourself listen sometimes, don't you? I know I do. And I have to make myself listen to the right voice. There are tons of voices out there, voices of folly and voices of wisdom out there. Who am I listening to? It's learning to learning to tune your ear to the right voice and to the right messages in your life. Learning to tune. In fact, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." Making your ear attentive to wisdom. And then verse 2, inclining. Notice another parallelism, a phrase here that reinforces the first one. He says, "And inclining your heart to understanding." It's like leaning forward. You know, when I've taught before, sometimes in school, I know our brother Dale can appreciate this. You can kind of tell sometimes whether or not a class is listening to you or not, can't you? And sometimes I've misinterpreted it too, whether they were really listening and or not. But you know, one of the signs that told me that maybe they weren't listening so well is, well, one, if they were on their phone, but that was like no-no in my class. But they would be sitting back doing that. But I could often tell if they were engaged in what I was saying, there was a difference in posture. In that there was a leaning in and a hanging on the words, eating up what was going on, and whether it be teaching high school or in other scenarios. He's saying that in this instant, here's what you need. Incline your heart. Lean forward. Get into it. Don't just be passive in your approach to wisdom. Lean your heart in that direction. In verse 3, yes. I love how he starts that in the ESV. He says, yes, if you call, notice the next, if you call out for insight. So it's not just inclining your heart. It's not just receiving those words. It's calling out for it. I want it. I need it. It's kind of like when my kids were little and they would cry out from the other end of the house, change me. Of course, they wouldn't say that. They'd just say, well, and I would go and do it. He's saying, call out for it because it needs should be your heart's desire. When you do verses 1 and verse 2, it causes a cry to well out from within your soul, which is really prayer. God, give me insight. Give me insight. Insight. Being able to internally see the way the world works and to be able to navigate it. It's like turning on the lights on the inside when you gain a heart of wisdom. If you call out for insight, you know, one of the things you can do if you're struggling, getting into God's word, understanding and apply to your lives, one of the things you can do is as you get into God's word, call out to him and say, God, help me to understand. Give me insight into your word. You know, I did this last week. You ever be reading through a book of the Bible and sometimes it's like, I didn't really get a lot out of it. You ever been there? I'll be honest, I've been there. I was reading through some of the middle chapters of Ezekiel this week about all the judgments of God on the nations. And I was thinking, oh Lord, help me to find something that'll bless my life this week and help me to apply it to my life. And I was struggling. And I prayed, God, give me insight. And then it was so interesting, that very day there was something that just like jumped out of the page and hit my soul at a moment I least expected it. Call out for insight. Raise your voice for understanding. Notice the parallel. Raise your voice for understanding. Help me, God, to understand. Nothing wrong with praying that. God, help me. Help me understand. I want to understand better. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. And then in verse 5, you get the then statement. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If you call out for it, if you receive it, if you incline your ear, if you seek it like silver, like hidden treasures, I guarantee if I said in this service, I have hidden a box with $1,000 somewhere in this church, and it's yours if you find it, I guarantee that there would be a hunt after service. If I went down to Awana, they would find it first, right? Because they would get into all the different places that I could hide it. That search as if there were silver, and it's much more valuable than silver, much more valuable than gold. And if you do this, the promise of God is you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Where have we seen that parallel before? If you look back in chapter 1, there in verse 7, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." He's saying there, when you desire wisdom, when you hunger for my words, then you will get the fear of the Lord. Then what you will get? Knowledge. And what does that lead to? Eventually, he's going to say here in a few chapters in Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Wisdom. So treasure God's word in your heart. Use every means possible to digest, understand, apply this book. Read it, study it, hear it, memorize it, meditate on it. All of those disciplines in your life. Spending time every day getting into His word. Treasuring up its principles and its truths in your heart. That, my friends, is the pathway to wisdom. I love it. This morning I heard from one of our members, faithful members, that said, "You know, this last week I was listening to a particular sermon series by Matt Chandler, and it just blessed my life. You know what I think about that? Praise God. Praise God. People are hungry to hear God's word preached. Get into it more. Listen to sermons. Listen to podcasts. Listen to the Bible read on your phone. However you need to do to get into God's word. Get into His word. Treasure it. And it'll transform your life." The benefits to those who do this are outstanding. Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That's what he says there. And so we think about it. It's a light to my feet. It shows me where I am today. And it's light unto my path. It shows me where I need to go next. And isn't that really wisdom? What wisdom is all about? Wisdom is knowing who you are and where you are today. And wisdom is knowing where to go next. And God's word provides that for us. Psalm 119:11 says this, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so there is this protection from sin that we have in our souls that God gives because we have stored up His word, memorized His word, meditated on His word in our hearts. Psalm 119 verse 99 says it like this, "I have more understanding than all of my teachers." How do you get that? "Well, for your testimonies are my meditation." I meditate on the word of God. Treasuring the word of God puts us on the pathway to wisdom. We could go on and on, but the key command that God gives us is this: treasure His word. And that puts us on the pathway of wisdom. Secondly, second treasure principle here in Proverbs chapter 2 is this: treasuring the word of God leads to a deep relationship with God. Treasuring the word of God leads to a deep relationship with God. And so we don't treasure the Word of God so that we are prepared to kill the Bible category on Jeopardy should we ever get into that show. That's not why we treasure the Word of God. Why do we treasure the Word of God? Not so that we can impress people with our biblical knowledge. The reason we treasure the Word of God is that when we get into the book, the promise of the Word of God is that we get to know God. That we get to know Him. And He speaks to us through His Word. The reward for treasuring the Word of God is God. As you treasure His Word up in your heart, you begin to know His character, His attributes, His ways, His desires, His gospel becomes precious to you. As you treasure it in all of its different aspects, you begin to love the gospel even more because you recognize, as we talked about this morning, just about how deep a sinner you are in all of its aspects, in all of its ugliness. You see just how much God had to love you and exactly what Jesus did for you on the cross when He paid for sin's price. That becomes more glorious to you when you treasure the Word of God. You know yourself. You know how awesome God is and how His grace is so incredibly amazing. You know, in verses 5 through 8, he talks about having this deep relationship with God. Let's walk through that. In verse 5, he says, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then he describes what that's like. For the grounds of that, because the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Three words that describe the Word of God. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. All the things that we need to navigate the treacherous world that we live in. Verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Think about that. God has a storehouse of the snow. We see in the book of Job. But here he has a storehouse of wisdom for you. If you in your life, and we're all in this boat, aren't we, that we are facing different situations in our life where we need insight, we need understanding that's beyond our own understanding, beyond our own capabilities in our lives. How are you going to get that? He says there, God has a storehouse of wisdom for you. And the pathway to get there is verses 1 through 4, treasuring his word in your heart, leading you to a relationship with God. A.W. Tozer, you know this quote well. I've said it many times. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And when we get into the Word, we get to know the God of the Word, and he speaks wisdom into our hearts. Verse 7, second half. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Why do we need a shield in the world today? It's because there is an enemy of our souls, isn't there? And what is he doing constantly according to Ephesians 6? He is aiming his fiery arrows at us. And we raise up the shield of faith. But note, remember, the shield of faith is part of the armor of God. It is God's armor that shields us. In fact, it is God who is our very shield when we walk in integrity in this world. How do you grow integrity? Live your life increasingly according to the Word of God. In verse 8, he says, guarding the paths of justice. So not only will we live rightly and have wisdom, but we will become people of justice in this world. People that understand right and wrong, and people that can be a blessing to the people around us. And watching over the ways, he guards the way of justice, lets us enter into that path, and he watches over the way of his saints. Verse 7, 8 says that we will have access to God's wisdom when we treasure his word. Treasuring the word of God leads to a deep and lasting relationship with God. Listen, there are no shortcuts to a deep relationship with God. If you wanted to get 5 hints and tips on how to have a quick, easy, shortcut relationship with the Lord, there's not one. It all goes through the pathway of the Word and prayer. The Word and prayer. And devoting time to that in a distracting world, in a crazy busy world, in a world that's constantly vying for your attention. That is the only pathway to knowing God. But oh, the depth of the riches of having a deep and abiding relationship with God. He'll say later that being around people like that who have a deep and abiding relationship with God is like having a feast for the soul. When you're around people like that, God give us and grow in us people in our church, people like that. Number 3, treasuring the word of God leads to a life of wisdom. Third and finally tonight, treasuring the Word of God leads to a life of wisdom. And that's the point of the rest of the chapter. Verses 9 through 22 talk about the life of wisdom. Treasuring the Word of God leads to knowing God, which then leads to a life of wisdom. Can you see the progression here? Treasuring the Word of God leads to knowing God, which leads to a life of wisdom. Don't forget, this is at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, before we get into the actual nuts and bolts of all of the different Proverbs. And he's saying, treasuring these words will lead you to know God and live for God in this world with wisdom. Treasuring the Word and knowing God has a ton of practical benefits in our lives, in our homes, in our schools, in our jobs, and in our world. In verses 9 through 11, we see that we will have wisdom in our hearts and our lives will be characterized by righteousness, justice, equity, goodness, understanding, and discretion. Look at verses 9 through 11. This is in verse 9. Then, so treasure the word, know God, then you will understand righteousness and judgment. Why? Because you have access by this, the keeper of the storehouse of wisdom. You will understand righteousness and justice and equity and every good path. You'll understand the good paths and you'll be able to walk in them because God's wisdom will be in you. Verse 10, four grounds, because wisdom will come into your heart. Oh, isn't Jesus the wisdom from God? Where do I see Jesus in this passage? You better find him. He's right there, isn't he? The New Testament says Jesus is our very wisdom from God. And when you know the Word of God and trajectory of the Word of God in the Old Testament pointing forward to Christ and pointing back to Christ in the New Testament, you know that ultimately it's Christ that comes into our heart by His Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of Christ that gives us the wisdom of God. Wisdom, Jesus, wisdom, the Spirit of God comes into our hearts and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. What was once boring, what was once seemed irrelevant to your life, now is a treasure, now is pleasant, now is calming to your soul. He says in verse 11, it will, and discretion will watch over you. You'll understand, not this way, your words will be guarded, your life will be guarded. Understanding will be a guard over you. Knowing the Word of God and the fear of God leads to a life that pleases God. And not only do you learn how to live, but you learn what to avoid. That's what the point of verse 11 is. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you because there are some voices and people in this world that will lead you astray and you need to avoid those paths. And just in case we didn't quite get that, the Father sitting on the other side of the dinner table from us, beginning in verse 12 and going through verse 22, points out two different people that you need to be watching out for in this world. The path of wisdom knows to avoid the wrong pathways. In verses 12 through 19, we meet two kinds of people that all of us have known. The first kind of person is the friend who wants to lead you away from the pathway of God into the pathway of evil. It is the way of the fool and people who think they know better than God how to have fun, how to have real life, how to really have fulfillment. That's what it's talking about in verses 12 and following. He talks about this idea of this one who thinks they know better than God and they'll lead you astray. Look at that. See if you've ever heard this voice. Let's look at that one more time. He says in verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness, walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked, not straight, but crooked, who are devious in their ways. These are the ones who are on that broad road that Jesus will talk about soon here in a couple weeks as we walk through the Sermon on the Mount. These are the ones who are on that broad road and wide way that leads to destruction. And many be there who find it. You know, this is most of our culture, isn't it? Most of the world is described by this. In fact, the entire world and the world system is described by words such as evil, perverted, unrighteous, darkness, evil again, perverseness, crooked paths, devious, trying to deceive you into a path that does not lead to life, but leads away from God. Do you know how it works so often? It doesn't work so often as just an overt temptation to just sell out to evil. The way I've seen it work so often is the temptation to get just one degree off. Just make a little compromise. You don't really have to have this standard in your life. Cut it a little bit. And while initially it may not make that big of a difference, but if you walk 1,000 miles and you need to be going that way, and you make a 1 degree difference in the direction you're going, you'll end up in California when you wanted to be in Seattle. Right? You'll be way off track. And that's true with this voice. But when you treasure God's word in your heart, when you know God, when He leads you to a life of wisdom, all of a sudden He will develop what I like to call the knower in you. To where before, just any voice seemed good. Yeah, this seems like a good idea. That seems a good idea. And you're kind of just flying by what seems like good to you at the time. But God will develop that knower in you, that listener in you, those ears that all of a sudden, or over time, not suddenly, but over time of growing and knowing God, you'll be able to recognize that's not God's way. That's not God's best for me. That's not the right voice for me. That voice is going to lead me astray. He develops that ear of discernment. So whether the voice is inaudible, and sometimes it's just a voice that you don't know where it comes from or where that idea comes from, or a voice of the world or a friend or a coworker, or wherever that might be, or even a family member, you will be able to discern, this is the right path, that's the wrong path. That is growing in wisdom. There's one other person that the Father warns us against, and it's super relevant for today. The other temptation that begins in verse 16 through verse 19, really, before he summarizes in the last three verses, is the temptation of the one who would lead you away sexually. And over again in the first several chapters of the book of Proverbs, we meet this person, this, in this case, the forbidden woman or the adulteress. And certainly this temptation comes at us from all directions today. Let's read that one more time in verse 16. So you'll be delivered from this other kind of person, this forbidden woman, the adulteress with her smooth words. Sounds so good. Forsakes the companion of her youth. Forgets the covenant of her God. Her house, if you could just see it, just see behind where this is leading. Look there. Look where this pathway leads. Her house sinks down, not to life, not to fulfillment, not to joy, but to death. Her paths lead to the departed. None who go in to her come back. It is the pathway of no return. You're not coming back if you go there. Dad, sitting across the table, talking to son. Son, if you go this way, it's not going to go well with you. It's going to lead to destruction. Whether it be through disease, or whether it be through broken relationships, or broken life, or just giving your heart away, wherever it's going to be, it's going to lead you to the dead. None who go to her come back. They do not regain the paths of life. And thank God for Jesus Christ that He can forgive us of our sin and restore us to righteousness. But the principle is true. Your life will never be the same if you give in to that temptation. And our world today is rampant with it. It says, it's okay. As long as you're consenting. As long as people love each other. And that is the standard where God calls us to a greater standard, a higher standard, a righteous standard. He is warning us this pathway will lead you to destruction. From internet pornography to adultery to the totally bankrupt idea today that young people just need to explore their sexual identity. We live in a culture that has become experts in soul destroying. Our world and our over-sexualized culture today has become experts in destroying lives and destroying souls because we've given away and sold out God's best for relationships, God's best for marriage, God's best for His good gift that He's created of sexuality. And we've sold all that trying to find life. But once again, we have just dug broken cisterns that can't hold any water, that just give us a mouthful of dirt. And the Father sits down with us as a loving dad speaking to his son, as I'd speak to my sons and my daughter. Look, this path will only lead you to destruction. Then in verse 20 through 22, he summarizes and he says, summarizes the whole. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will inhabit the land. Notice 4:8, Jew inhabit the land is dwell in the promise of God. And those with integrity will remain in it. Who don't get off the path. But, other alternative, the other picture, the wicked will be cut off from the land, the promises of God, and the treacherous will be rooted out. Let me encourage you over the next few weeks as we continue our walk through the book of Proverbs. There is someone who wants to sit down with you and have a feast with you. Sit down to a meal with your Heavenly Father and ask Him as you break open His Word. Let me encourage you to continue in the proverb of the day. What is today? The 22nd of September. Read Proverbs 22. Read Proverbs 23 tomorrow. Those are great chapters. Read those two chapters and God will sit down with you and begin to speak wisdom to your soul. Treasure that in your heart. Find one proverb that you can just maybe write out on a card and memorize that day or meditate on that day. And ask God, speak to my soul, help me to develop a relationship with you, and lead me in the paths of godliness. Why don't we stand as we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is powerful. It speaks to our lives and shows us the treasure principles. Treasuring your word in our hearts leads us to a relationship with God, a deeper fellowship with you, deeper communion with our God, and then leads us to a life, a path, discernment of wisdom. And Lord, I pray that would be increasingly true of everyone here and all of the boys and girls in Awana and all of the young men and women who are in discipleship group and then also for the young adults who meet later tonight. Lord, I pray that you would be working and drawing us to love your word. As we love the word of God, that we would more deeply love the God of the Word, and that would lead us into a life of wisdom. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.